Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
This morning with Dr. Lara Greaves from the University of Auckland. Morena, Lara, how are you?
Morena, great, thanks. How are you going?
Good. It's lovely to chat to you. There is some big stuff going on in politics this week. We're going to chat a little bit about Waitangi, of course, and also a bit about the Climate Commission's report, which was just released on Monday and is going to be quite a big deal for the rest of the year as well. But let's start with talking about Ratana, which had its celebrations last week and often is talked about as being this kind of, I guess, a temperature gauge for how things are going to go down at Waitangi. But also it has a lot of other very significant and specific purposes. And one thing that's been quite interesting this year is that there were, you know, very little politicians in attendance, basically no politicians in attendance, and it was kind of kept within the church community. Can you give us a bit of an insight into why that was a decision that was made and what came out of the Ratana celebrations this year?
Yes, Ratana actually asked Labor to not attend. A couple of people who are sort of Ratana followers within Labor attended, like Adrian Rodafe, who's got sort of Ratana whakapapa, and I think Kitty Allen at one point was there. So they attended, but it was kind of a non-political affair this year, and Ratana wanted it to be that way because some internal issues that they wanted to sort of sort out, and I think Labor bowling in there, and that given that situation, would have actually been disrespecting their mana, disrespecting their right to kind of organise their own affairs and sort themselves out. And it does kind of mean that basically we didn't have that sort of kicking off of politics as much as we normally do, because that's what the sort of Ratana sort of birthday celebrations of TW Ratana, that's kind of, they kick it off every year. So we kind of not had that kicking off as much as possible, but you know, we've had a weird sort of year, I guess 2 years in politics now, haven't we?
We certainly have. So what were some of the, I guess, discussions? Do we know much about what were some of these discussions that were had at Ratana, and why were they sort of deciding to have it as an internal within the church thing this year?
I'm not exactly sure about their internal politics. I know there was some discussion about, you know, the sort of kingitanga at one point, or sort of who'll be the leader there, and just some other sort of internal politics relating to that. One of the leaders, you can kind of make that argument that, hey, we're doing our internal politics, kind of leave us alone this year, but strangely and curiously, and we'll see how this plays out in 2022, one of the leaders did come out and say maybe we should be reevaluating our relationship with the Labor Party, which is kind of quite interesting as to what exactly that means and whether that's starting to signal that the supporters should look to someone more like the Māori Party going forward.
That's really interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the Māori Party, because that kind of, I guess, segues into a bit of the Waitangi discourse that's been happening in the last couple of weeks. The Māori Party is not going to be, or they're not in attendance at Waitangi this year. They made that decision when there was more concern around community transmission of COVID a couple of weeks ago. What's that going to mean for what we see come out of Waitangi this year, particularly in regards to the Māori Party, because it is such a crucial year for the Māori Party being back in government, or back in Parliament, rather?
I think this is a really tricky one, right? Because, and this is that thing where I kind of joke, I'm like, how many times in media do I say Māori are diverse, right? Like, you know, Māori, it's collective of whānau, hapū, iwi, and then people have varying opinions, right? And there's varying groups at play here. So I think the Māori Party were pointing to the iwi leaders' chairs forum pandemic group saying, hey, don't go to Waitangi, and a collective of iwi, Te Kahu o Taonui collective said, don't come up here. So there's some groups that were like, hey, don't come to Waitangi. But sort of the mana whenua, the Te Tiki Marae people were like, hey, continue celebrations as normal. So there's that diverse opinions within Māori as to whether to go ahead or not, and you kind of, I guess, in a way, the Māori Party needed to make a decision there. And then that kind of makes it look a bit awkward for Labor, because then it's like, is Labor disrespecting Māori and Māori wishes? So it kind of backed Labor, like, on a surface, non-nuanced level, and I made this comment myself in the press as well, it kind of makes it look like Labor are not respecting or listening to Māori in a way. And so the Māori Party pulling out is kind of, I'm sure that they're actually doing it through honest motives and like respecting Māori and respecting those views. But then on the other hand, it kind of does look like the Māori Party has backed Labor into a little bit of a corner on this issue and making it look like that they might be disrespecting, mana whenua or in some way.
It is an interesting one. It is quite, a big year, I guess, in many senses, because we've had this massive government change, although it's, you know, the same government, but we've got a lot more Labor in it this time round, and also we have this, you know, re-emergence of the Māori Party, a large proportion of Greens. We've got quite a big kind of left-leaning basis in Parliament at the moment. But what are going to be some of these big discussions that are had at Waitangi this week? What do you sort of anticipate will be some of the biggest things to come out of this year's commemorations?
Yes, I think a lot of us are kind of looking at Labor, and this is, I think, across the political spectrum, but also this is something that, like, within Māori, people are looking at Labor going, okay, you've got this so-called mandate, you know, this huge majority, what are you going to do about it, and what are you going to do for Māori? Because Rapana wasn't sort of there on the political calendar, it seems like we've had a lot of policy announcements in this last week, sort of the National Party's running in the Māori seats got very quickly overshadowed by Nanaimo, who just saying that they were going to institute, well, to help institute Māori wards by removing that discriminatory referendum mechanism in local government. We're also apparently getting some kind of announcement on Matariki today and what that might look like in terms of dates.
Mm-hmm.
Labor and Andrew Little, because Ngāpuhi, the biggest iwi, hasn't settled with the Crown yet, so they're kind of, there's a lot of internal politics and a lot of hapu-level politics going on in that. But basically, Andrew Little announced a sort of $150 million fund for the hapu of Ngāpuhi to be able to apply to, and there's a committee that sort of looks at that funding. So that is sort of another, we've had quite a few sort of policy announcements this week.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have been saying that Waitangi is looking a lot less sort of political, I guess, a lot less protestery, that sort of thing. There was a protest yesterday about a housing development, but generally it looking less adversarial. And I think that's partially the fact that, you know, this is a Labor government and they're not actively, in terms of their policies, there's nothing that we can point to that is actively discriminatory against Māori, whereas, like, in the previous national government, there were quite a few policies, I think, that Māori could point to. So I think that's just a bit of a function of just a different government and a government, with more Māori in it.
Let's talk a little bit about this Climate Commission report that's been released now, because this is a big deal and kind of maybe got lost a little bit in Auckland, at least, across our public holiday, which it was released on. And it sort of sets out guidelines, or quite firm guidelines, I guess, for the government to follow to basically get our climate crisis under control in Aotearoa. What are some of the biggest takeaways, up front from this report for you, Lara?
Yeah, so there are a lot of specific policy actions there, which is good, because I think that, like, if you've got a huge issue like climate change, breaking it down into those parts makes it more concrete for people and they can see what exactly is going to happen there. I think that basically what it's shown is that there's going to be a bit of a sort of trade-off in GDP and economic trade-off, quite, you know, closer to now rather than in the future, when, of course, climate change would have catastrophic implications for GDP. But in the meantime, there's going to be that slight economic trade-off. And I think that generally that report's shown that I would say for the majority of the public that trade-off will be within an acceptable range. And we're seeing in things like the New Zealand election study, we're seeing increasing numbers of people prioritise the environment and saying that the environment and climate change is a pressing issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's kind of reflecting that political will, and it just goes back to, again, Jacinda Ardern saying that this is our generation's nuclear-free moment. And I think that that's been really tricky because, you know, we've had this sort of, again, strange year to almost, you know, strange 2020 in politics where COVID has sort of overwhelmed everything politically, and actually we do have these sort of other huge political issues that need solving along the lines of, climate change, equity and housing. So, I think it's a pretty good report and has those concrete policy steps.
So what exactly does it mean with this report, though? How closely does the government have to follow this? Is it a guideline, or is it something that they're going to have to implement? What is the sort of, importance of this report in terms of how much does the government have to listen to this?
I think it's like with most of their reports, most of their sort of working groups and commissions, they don't actually have to. And that's something that they've been quite resoundingly criticised for. I think generally the power of the Greens and the next government. So, like, I mean, everyone's like, ah, oh, we just had an election. Stop looking at 2023. But if we look at something like 2023, I think a party like the Greens are going to have a lot more power in this and going to have more of that ability to turn around and say to Labor, hey, you didn't do this, you didn't do that.
Mm.
So I think that that's kind of a, and I think with you know, that quite decent-sized Green party and, you know, the two Māori party members there, they do have that sort of enough sort of opposition on the left to kind of keep hammering them on this, and of course there's NGOs like Greenpeace and so on to be able to sort of criticise Labor on this. So they do need to do some of the steps, and they've got this more practical guide here. But ultimately, again, it's a suggestion rather than a law.
Mm. Hey, thank you so much for your time this morning, Dr. Lara Greaves. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope you have a nice long weekend, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, will do.
Cool. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.